Welcome to the Bold Company podcast, where we share unfiltered business stories from the people who are making it happen.
I'm Hannah from Business Canterbury.
And I'm Tim from Ruffles. Listen in as we share stories and celebrate the role of business in our region.
A huge thank you to one of our season sponsors, Christchurch Airport, growing the engine room for Canterbury business, and Christchurch NZ, the city's economic development agency, shaping an economy where people and places thrive, as well as Ruffles Studio for producing this in-house.
Bold Company Podcast.
Let's get bold.
Mark Rockett, New Zealand's godfather of space. He's an entrepreneur, investor, and aerospace pioneer. And apart from his involvement with Rocket Lab and Kia Aerospace, he's focused on innovation, orbital transportation, and environmental friendly propulsion systems. I mean, that's a very, very rough kind of take on what you are. And you look really uncomfortable when I mentioned godfather of space.
I love that. I think that's brilliant.
But I think it kind of sets the tone for people who maybe don't even know that there's a space industry, aerospace industry in New Zealand. You've been around sort of right from early doors. So welcome to the Bold Company podcast. Thanks
welcome,
for being
Mark.
Here.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Did it sound, any of that sound like a like truth? Were there facts in there?
Some facts, some stretches there. But yeah, great to be there to promote the aerospace industry in New Zealand. I think it's a golden opportunity for this country to be at the forefront of high-tech innovation. And aerospace has become the poster child for New Zealand on what we can achieve.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your story, Mark, how you got into aerospace.
Well, yeah, I guess starting from the beginning, I grew up in that Star Wars generation and all those great films, et cetera, and books that I read. And I was just always fascinated by space, and I was a bit annoyed that I didn't grow up in the US where you could be an astronaut.
Yeah.
So that was a deep regret. Yeah, saw a bit of the world, ended up getting involved with the internet industry. That put a bit of rocket fuel in my tank when I sold one of my companies. And from there, decided to follow my dream into the aerospace industry.
Wow.
And I bought a ticket with Virgin Galactic and went to an international space conference and saw the wonderful Elon Musk and other people speaking.
Oh, my goodness.
Obviously, people have different opinions on him now. But regardless, I mean, what he has achieved has been phenomenal. An amazing innovator. And, what he's achieved with SpaceX and Tesla and other companies has been tremendous. After seeing him speak and other people speak about this emerging space industry that was emerging in the Northern Hemisphere, I thought, well, there's one whole half of the planet that doesn't seem to be mentioned too much. And I thought maybe there's an opportunity for New Zealand to participate, and started to talk in the media a little bit about that. And a guy called Peter Beck gave me a call when he heard me speaking about it. He thought I'd be a prime candidate for an investor in his business idea. And 2007, we started commercial operations of Rocket Lab. And we did our first space launch in 2009. And obviously Rocket Lab's gone on to have this amazing orbital capability. And now we're the third or fourth most frequent launch country in the world. So that's from a country that used to just focus on, sheep and dairy. And, we really need to get into these new high-tech industries. And, I think 20 or 30 years ago, many New Zealanders wouldn't have believed that we are at the forefront of the film industry and the, winemaking, boat building, and now aerospace. And, we really need to develop these niches that New Zealand, we need multiple buckets. We can't just put everything in the dairy bucket. I mean, that's one aspect, but, we need multiple pillars to hold the roof up of the house.
100%, yeah.
But that's really difficult, right? Because especially when you're at the cutting edge of innovation, it's really hard to prove or to even find the appetite sometimes for investors to come on board. And I suppose if the tech is good enough and the idea is good enough and big enough and that there is a market there for it, that's one thing. But actually to get dollars and cents across the line is a really sort of rigorous process, and you've got to think big. And how do you attract those big thinkers who have deep pockets? How do you turn an idea, a big dream or a vision, that kid who wished that he could have been an astronaut watching Star Wars and maybe thinking that the Ewoks were pretty cute, how does he then go and really be part of this massive, massive opportunity with big, big dollars and cents involved. How do you commercialise that?
Well, it's hard, you know. In New Zealand, it is really hard to get investment for your idea, particularly if you're on the edge of what is rational. You know, the reality is, if you look back at 2007, you know, Peter was talking to a lot of potential investors, and no one thought it was rational that a New Zealand company could create a space industry, a space company in New Zealand. And that, you know, if you look at all the other orbital capable nations, they all have billions of dollars of investment and infrastructure for aerospace programs, space programs. You know, New Zealand has none of that. You know, even our defence budget is quite small compared to a lot of those other countries. So, you know, being the 11th orbital capable country in the world, you know, New Zealand has achieved what no other country has by doing it purely on a commercial basis. And, you know, Peter did a brilliant job of bringing that investment in from Silicon Valley. You know, here in New Zealand, we've got a whole bunch of other companies doing amazing stuff, and a lot of them have got investment. You know, my company, Kia Aerospace, we managed to attract a multi-billionaire from Austria to fund our Mark 1 program. We're at the phase of Mark 2, looking for an investment at the moment. We want to bring in other investment partners that, you know, bring us those sort of international opportunities in the future. And it's hard, you know, where we are, a lot of people just don't quite get the commercialisation plan. Like, to me, I see, you know, what we're doing at Care is having an amazing commercial opportunity, but because it hasn't been done before, people find that really hard to kind of take that leap of faith. Yeah. So, yeah, it's about trying to articulate the story, make it clear, you know, give them analogies of, you know, what's been done before and, you know, how we're using that same sort of model for this new platform.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, telling that story is such a huge part of it, isn't it, Mark? I mean, you on this podcast, this is what Bold Company is all about, and why we started it. It's just, there's so many unknowns and hidden businesses in New Zealand, but I mean, Christchurch, you know, people just don't have that understanding of the incredible things that we're doing behind closed doors, do they?
And I think actually as a nation, and maybe that's, maybe we're not the market, but we don't really know about the space, aerospace stuff that's going on our back doorstep. I think, you know, yes, we get a few media stories covering it, but people kind of, I still think, maybe have a, well, they're doing that, but that's not me, you know, kind of a mentality. So it's incredible. It must be a very difficult journey, but I suppose I can see when you're talking about it, you've got a vision in mind, and you've got a way to execute that, and a way to, as you've proven, raise that capital. So times are looking pretty exciting, and that you've you know, built that from New Zealand is actually pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I've been on an entrepreneurial journey and started off with a very basic business, and, you know, I'm fortunate to be in a position where each time I've sort of upgraded and managed to kind of broaden my horizons about where I could go. And I think in general, most of us, we sort of have quite limiting expectations about what we can do.
Yes.
And sometimes it's about taking the blinkers off. But, you know, a lot of the time you do need to kind of take it step by step. If, you know, you can't go from, you know, oftentimes it's a lot harder to take a massive step as opposed to kind of smaller gradual steps towards your goal. So, I think it's about getting that balance right. But in general, it'd be great if more New Zealanders, you know, had bigger picture thinking. And, you know, certainly if you go to other countries, you see a lot of entrepreneurs sort of competing against other really successful entrepreneurs, and the game is just much bigger over there.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, a lot of New Zealand entrepreneurs, they get to a point where they say, well, actually, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm going to get the batch. I'm going to get the jet boat. And I'm going to cash out that. That's going to be a great life for me in my retirement. And so many Kiwi entrepreneurs sort of stop at that, and that's great. I mean, that's going to give them the life satisfaction that they want. But if you go to the US, you know, it's not just a batch and a boat. You've basically got your New York apartment, you've got your jet, you've got your helicopters, you've got your luxury boats.
More, basically.
People are competing at that kind of higher level. And, you know, the reality is humans, you know, we like to compare ourselves to our friends, associates, and network. And I think, you know, here we are down the bottom of the South Pacific, we don't have such a drive towards that materialistic competition, which I think is a beautiful thing. But yeah, if you look at those other countries which do have much more powerhouse economies, the scale of everything is so much bigger. So the thinking is so much bigger.
Yeah, Yeah. Mark, what for the entrepreneurs who might be listening into this episode, what advice would you give them? You know, I know myself and my husband's recently launched into the world of owning his own business. It's really hard to take that leap from what might be a dream into actually reality and believing that you can do it. What advice would you give?
Yeah, well, firstly, there are many, many paths to being a successful entrepreneur. I mean, I only know my journey, which is kind of a quirky one and quite different to to a lot of other entrepreneurial journeys. Yeah. And I think, you know, every entrepreneur has their own path that they walk down. From my experience, I found that, you know, I want to find a project that I'm really passionate about that puts that fire in my belly. And you know, helps you get through those long, cold, dark nights where you've got to wrangle with, you know, how do you do this? How do you get through this problem? So I think whatever you do, make sure you're passionate about it, because you're going to be putting a lot of time into your business, and you know, just try and find those drivers that are really going to keep you going. I think for me the key thing is to find something that I'm really excited about and want to make a contribution on, which is, you know, for the larger good in some way.
And how have you found that when you get to, so there are certain sort of milestones or gates or markers or bottlenecks or what have you along the way, and sort of you know there's certain ceilings, I suppose. How do you push through those? Do you have a tried and true process for pushing through to the next stage, and what advice can you give other businesses at that point?
One of my key things is, you know, to employ people that are better than me in different areas. So I think you've got to have a great team, and, you know, trying to harness the potential of that team to enable creativity, where, you know, people can basically problem solve the ideas. You know, essentially at Key Aerospace, for example, we've got, you know, over 20 different engineers of all sorts of different types, and they're able to kind of solve those technical issues. You know, I didn't go to university, so I don't have that engineering background. Would have been a dream, you know, an alternate universe. I would have loved to have done that. And in fact, I've sent my son on that journey. He's off to UC doing an aerospace degree.
Wow.
And, you know, that's something I would have loved to have done. And I can live vicariously through him on his journeys in his second year, and he's doing these cool student projects.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, he's doing student projects. You're putting rockets into space. I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't say that you're living vicariously through him. Maybe he's now actually seeing that there is a pathway to make this a successful, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm no longer involved with Rocket Lab that are doing the rocket stuff, but I'm involved with Key Aerospace with our solar-powered aircraft. So, certainly we're flying in the stratosphere with our aircraft and punching through those things. But I mean, as far as challenges go, I think firstly, you know, employ a great team. But then, you know, sometimes you do just hit those things, and you need to kind of think through it. So, you know, I find, you know, putting yourself into different situations, whether that's walking or running. As I mentioned before, I'm a marathon runner, so I do a lot of training, and it gives me a lot of time to think, and sort of changes your mind state a little bit when you are being contemplative. And weirdly, you know, the shower, I've had so many brilliant ideas in the shower, and I know a lot of other people, there's something about the running
clarity,
water.
Clarity comes through,
you just get these moments of insight. Eureka! You know,
It's so true, isn't
whether
it?
Whether it's in the bath or the shower or whatever, there's something weird that happens there. I think just, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't have to push it, where you have to, hopefully you don't have to come up with an answer straight away on some of the bigger things, but just put yourself in different states where you can ponder it, and oftentimes, you know, think about it before you go to bed, plant that seed, and then sometimes you wake up and you have that sort of morning clarity.
A lot of things become clearer in the morning, isn't there?
Yeah,
12 o'clock at night, not so much.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, you wake up and it's like 2 a.m. and you're thinking about stuff, and you sort of catastrophize about all the stuff. But, you know, that's not reality. You know, that's the sort of negative part of your brain, obviously, you know, exploring all the things that can go wrong. But then you wake up in the morning and go, what was that about? You know, and you do, you know, you get that energized morning kind of thing. And, you know, often you can sort of push through it and think about things in different ways. But I think trying to give yourself the time and the scope just to explore it, and sometimes you need to try 10 different ways before you find the solution.
Definitely.
Mark, one thing that you're doing sort of slightly differently potentially is you've got a real focus on sustainability, And I know that that's an overused word, and what does it really mean? But you're looking at sort of sustainable, shall we say, betterment for humanity and for, you know, the planet and all that kind of stuff. How do you do that when you're talking about putting things into orbit or putting things into the stratosphere? Is there a trade-off somewhere, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe if I go back to the start of the Kia Aerospace journey, you know, I realised I wanted to get involved in another aerospace project, and I didn't quite know what it was. So around 2017, 2018, I started just to connect with people and just see what was going on. Started to hang around the University of Canterbury looking for talented people that might want to, you know, be part of this new venture. And that kind of morphed into Kia Aerospace, where we had two main goals. One, which was to help build an ecosystem here in the South Island for aerospace, because it kind of annoyed me that Rocket Lab ended up being built in Auckland, and, you know, the original plan was to have it down here in the South Island. So that was kind of unfinished business that I felt like I needed to attend to.
Yeah, I love that.
And so that one goal was to kind of help bring these passionate, amazing, talented people together, and that's morphed into Aerospace Christchurch, which then has turned into Aerospace New Zealand, which is an industry body for aerospace in New Zealand. And we have an annual summit each year, and also regular meetups around the country, and, you know, a really broad collection of all the sort of key stakeholders in aerospace. But yeah, so it was building the ecosystem, and then secondly finding another really cool aerospace project. And initially I thought maybe we can leverage off the capability of Rocket Lab and find hardware that we can launch up into space, satellites type projects. But I realised that so many other countries had invested in that area, and it was going to be hard for New Zealand to kind of compete on that. So just keep looking around for ideas, and then we stumbled across this idea for a stratospheric platform powered by the sun, a solar-powered aircraft, like a glider that can essentially fly for months at a time continuously in the stratosphere. And I just found that a really compelling concept. It just blew me away. That you
it's think unbelievable, Mark, that we're sitting here and talking about that. that just blew my mind for a minute. That's incredible. Yeah.
I mean, think that an aircraft that could fly for months or years continuously, it's just something that I hadn't really thought about it, and the idea just grabbed me.
I don't think a lot
me.
Of people had thought about that.
Oh, that's amazing. And what happens with that, Mark? So it's what does success look like for that aircraft?
Well, you just break it down. I mean, we started, you know, with a PowerPoint presentation and started to build small prototypes, and, you know, just a small glider type aircraft with a few solar cells. And then we built a larger one with, you know, covered completely in solar cells.
Yeah,
and we managed to break the endurance record in New Zealand. We flew for initially for 14 hours, and another flight for 36 hours continuously. And we proved that we could build a smaller aircraft, a solar-powered aircraft that would fly perpetually or continuously in good weather at low altitude. And so the next thing was to think, you know, how can we build an aircraft that can fly up to the altitude that we want? And that's the Kia Atmos Mark 1. And we've been on that journey for the last 3 years building that aircraft. And we got to the stratosphere for the first time in February. So that was a massive milestone for the company, where we got to 56,000 feet. And it's a beautiful, very light aircraft that can fly at that altitude. And our next mission is to combine those two capabilities of long duration flight and altitude. And that's really where we hit the sort of commercial jackpot, where we can then essentially take that out to the market and offer a platform that hasn't been available before.
And your Austrian investor must be pretty happy.
Yeah, we're lucky. Wolfgang's on our board, so we have monthly meetings, and, you know, it's amazing to have his expertise on our board. So things are going pretty well.
Things are going pretty well.
Pretty well.
Cheeky little smile. That's fantastic.
I love that. Yeah. Mark, I read one of your dreams is to go to space. How far away do you think that dream is from becoming a reality for you?
Well, a few months ago it was quite a long way away, and now it's actually got a lot closer.
Brilliant.
So yeah, basically I signed up, as I said before, in 2006 with Virgin Galactic.
Yes, yeah.
And that was amazing to be part of that community, and we have had events around the world, and, you know, connecting with other like-minded sort of homo spacians, people that are really compelled around space technology. And
that's good.
I love that.
I'm trying to keep composed here, but that was too good.
Homo spaceans.
Yeah, and being part of that group was incredible. But you know, Virgin Galactic had a number of issues. They managed to do the ballot. I was going to be number 38. And they did a few flights, but now they're in a phase where they're rebuilding the aircraft, and it's going to be a few years, or at least a year or so, I think, before they recommence those commercial flights. So I'd sort of pretty much given up on the dream. I thought, it's going to be a wee while before they get going. And meanwhile, I talked to Blue Origin. I started talking to Blue Origin last year, and started talking to them, and essentially an opportunity came up, and I'm going to space next month in May.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about it, and we're flying final from Texas.
No way.
And
I was not expecting that at all. I thought
in May, mic drop.
In May, oh my goodness. I'm going to the UK in September, so how do you prepare for that, Mark?
Like marathons?
Yeah, I have a few protein shakes in the morning.
Protein shakes will help you. That's incredible.
Yeah, there's a few days of training before we go up. So, a lot of that is just, making sure you're all prepared to do what you need to do. And, essentially you jump into the rocket and, go three times the speed of sound, zoom up there pretty fast and have about 3 minutes of zero G and come back down. You have about five Gs of load on your body and then land safely. So... yeah, it's going to be a pretty cool experience.
Fantastic.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Incredible.
I'm so excited for you, Mark. That must be,
dream come true.
It's literally a dream come true. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I sort of haven't talked about it too much to anyone yet, so this is probably the first sort of public time. I'm not quite sure when you're going to be unleashing this podcast, but...
Well, hopefully before May.
Yeah.
Yes.
What date in May are you going?
Well, at this stage, it's tentatively around mid-May, I'm not quite sure on the dates yet.
Okay, wow, that's great.
So, hopefully. But, these things can get delayed, so or anything can happen. Yes. This is space, right?
Yeah.
Now that's the plan.
Yep. Okay, amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Well, safe travels. We'll, be very excited to see it all go well and see you live one of your dreams. That must be incredible.
Yeah, I think to get to those sort of milestones, sometimes it's sort of like a pinch me moment. I started here in Christchurch, very, very humble beginnings, and have the journey that I've had and to put me in a situation like this, sometimes it feels a bit surreal.
I bet.
It's remarkable. I heard we were talking just before this podcast, Mark. I heard Katy Perry's going to space, so you might actually beat her going to space.
She's on the flight before me.
Oh, no.
amazing. But that's a really cool trip. It's the first all-female crew going to space.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
So I think that's pretty special.
That's really special. Oh,
incredible.
How good. Mark, just to round off the episode, at Bold Company we do like a quick fire question. I've heard you're a bit of a movie buff. You love your movies. Top three movies of all time.
Yeah, well, the number one for me would be Alien, I've sort of talked about it a bit before, but I just love the gritty realism, truckers in space. I remember the first time I saw it, I think I was in the Rakaia camping ground watching it on a TV in the awning, and I got really freaked out. But, I just thought...
Well, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
I mean, what a film.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? Yeah.
I think Empire Strikes Back. I just thought a cool cool film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think more recently, Edge of Tomorrow.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's a Tom Cruise film. It's basically about aliens that essentially have distortion on time.
Oh wow!
And Tom Cruise has to keep reliving this day. To sort of fight the aliens. It's actually done really, really well.
Amazing. Oh, I have to add that to the list.
Great.
Tim?
Oh, it's so tricky.
It is such a hard question.
I lived this stuff, studied it. And so there are so many things, and I'm going to sound like such a nerd. So I'm trying really hard to balance it out. Francois Truffaut's 400 Blows. was pretty incredible. I'm not even going to go into it, but I'm immediately regretting even airing that because I would be here for another half hour. I think Space Odyssey 2001, Stanley Kubrick.
Great choice.
It's keeping on theme a little bit, yep. But also fantastic film. And is very current as far as the conversation around AI and that conversation goes. And probably Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Damn you. Big it's tunes. Mine.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, go for it. You're up, Hannah.
That is mine. I am the biggest Tarantino nerd. Uh-huh. I grew up. My dad was a huge lover of films as well too, so I grew up watching, you know, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, way too young, you know, when I was about 7 or 8, just there's some pretty heavy themes in there.
Tarantino,
yeah. I know, so I'm Tarantino all the way. He's my absolute number one, and I would say Pulp Fiction probably for the dance with Mia Wallace. That's just, it's iconic. I love it. About Time, that's another one. I'm not too sure if you guys have watched it. It's got a lot of, it's kind of a romantic comedy, but there's so much more to it. It's so good. About, I've watched it at very different points in my life, and it's just, you know, gives you a bit of perspective, and I absolutely love it. And I will get judged for this one, but there is a reason behind it. Titanic. So that was the first movie I ever saw with my mum and my gran when I was, I feel like I was probably about 7 or 8, just between the Tarantino movies. Mm. And I remember, in Christchurch, at the time there was a theatre right in the city centre. And it just made me fall in love with film and acting and... Tim's smiling there.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Titanic?
No, we were talking about it the other day, and I just figured I knew the ending, so...
It's true. I don't know. It just takes me back, and I absolutely love it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Obviously, James Cameron has a big connection here with New Zealand now.
He does.
That's right. We're really fortunate to have him doing marvellous stuff here as well.
We are. We're really, really lucky here.
Isn't there another 15 years of Avatars so that they've signed on for? So.
Yep. It's incredible. Yeah. It's so exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark. It's such an honour to have you here, and from a Business Canterbury perspective, to be able to play a small part in Kia Aerospace journey has been amazing, and we're all cheering for you on the sidelines, and I'm so excited that you're going to space as well.
And it's so great. I think it's really actually pretty inspiring that you're still very humble about, you know, you've obviously had to work really hard and you've had some big ideas and stuff. You're now doing you're going to space in May. That's pretty big, right? But you've still got a really good handle on being a human about it. And that's pretty inspiring because there are a lot of people who, when they get to owning the Maserati and the Batch and the jet boat and all that kind of stuff, they kind of lose sight of the journey to get them there. You know, like that was the end, but I can see there's a lot more in your future. So it's really inspiring. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Hannah. Great to be here. And I think you just got to make the most of each day. You know, life is so short. So it's precious. So make the most of it.
Totally agree.
Great words.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us for Business Canterbury's Bold Company podcast.
We're sharing inspiring stories from Canterbury with the aim to help build stronger business community. If you know of a Canterbury business with a story to share, we want to know about it.
And send some love our way with a review.
See you next time, Canterbury.